Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, so I'm trying to get a handle here on what Steve's point is about conspiracy theories. And let's give it one more try. Steve, what is it that you want to say?
Well, if I understand you correctly, what you last said was that your not believing in conspiracy theories is from the point of view that people can't get together and create this huge secret that most of the people don't realize and accomplish their goal in all this.
Yes, I'm not inclined to accept those assumptions that people make with very little evidence in general. That's my point. And what's your challenge?
We got a lot of circumstantial evidence with what's going on in our country today and what's been going on. Look at all our colleges. Look at the products of our colleges and what they're doing on the streets today. Well, look at how they think and why they think what they think.
So your assumption is that they've been taught this in order to make them into revolutionaries, in order to take down our government? Is that the kind of thinking you're talking about?
Yes. And I'm surprised that's a mystery to you.
It's just not an assumption. I would need more evidence. It does correlate to events so that it could be true, but we have no evidence at all that it's true. What we do know is that schools have been taken over by radicals, and those radicals teach their radical philosophy. That doesn't mean they necessarily have a specific goal in mind, as opposed to just having, say, the communists in the 1950s and 60s having moved themselves into professions where they could hide and keep their ideas to themselves at the same time as disseminating them to young people so they could grow. That could be unintentional in terms of a specific outcome. Thank you for the call and thank you for holding, though. Jim in Manchester, hi.
Now, let me try to give you a little evidence. There's a gentleman named Cecil Rhodes. He was well-read. In fact, he was the founder of the Rhodes Scholarship. And you may know the Rhodes Scholarship. Many of our leaders have had that scholarship. Many of the people around, in fact, our mayor of Hartford is a Rhodes Scholar. Now, you should know that the Rhodes Scholarship was developed exactly for a world government, a communist world government. That's what its dedication was for. And its goal was to educate the smartest people and get them into the positions to influence the entire world. And this is written. Mm-hmm. This is a written about. This is not speculation. You should really look.
Well, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that there are communists who wanted to propagate communism and that some of them were in this country and they tried to figure out a way to survive when they were being outed and risking losing their careers and taking huge hits. So I don't doubt that.
That's not what I said. I understand there's communists. We had Joseph McCarthy to prove that. But I'm saying that there's a very well-known person that our leaders now, Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. This Rhodes Scholarship.
Yes, but hang on a second, Jim. I've got to get a traffic report in. If you can hold, we can finish up this conversation after, because I find this interesting. Wow, that's some cool music, huh? 860-522-9842. So Jim was making a point about conspiracy theories and about Rhodes Scholars and that being a conspiracy, I think, to push communism into this country. Is that right, Jim?
I'm sorry, I missed that. To what?
Well, go ahead.
I just want to say the last caller you had said there's no evidence, and I'm saying that there is evidence. There's a lot of evidence, and I could go on and take hours of your show, but I'll just tell you the most obvious one is the Rhodes Scholarship, who President Clinton was the Rhodes Scholar. There's so many Rhodes Scholars out there. Cecil Rhodes dedicated that to world government. He wanted to create a fund to educate the smartest people and get them into the highest positions of government and education to teach this theory. And this was communist world government. Okay, and it's today still going on. And it explains some of the stuff that's going on. And I was going to mention, too, you know, we talk about conspiracy theories, and there's a difference between having healthy skepticism and being closed-minded. And one of the things is that when somebody says, I don't believe, like your last guest, the first guest that came on around 3 o'clock, said, oh, we don't, both of us don't believe in conspiracy theories. And when you say something like that, a blanket statement like that, that just completely gives you the right and the power to just dismiss things right out of hand. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. It can't happen. There are so many things that you have not examined. You have to look at with your eyes open. And, yes, have healthy skepticism. But don't go into it with closed-mindedness. That means that you've already made up your mind. I'll go through the motions. I'll look at what you have to look at. But no one's going to change.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is if something is a conspiracy theory, that is, if something is being presented as an obvious fait accompli without evidence, specific evidence, tying cause and effect to the events, then it's not credible. And more thinking is required and more evidence is required. I'm not saying I don't pay attention to what are the potentials, but I'm just telling you my human response. I have a visceral response to when something is being proposed that isn't evidence-based, that isn't where a causal relationship isn't sought. That's all.
Well, I would agree.
I'm not closed to anything.
I would agree with you on that because a lot of times people say these are conspiracy facts. They're not conspiracy theories. I agree with theorizing about things. Something means nothing. But I can tell you the term conspiracy theory is a neuro-linguistic term. It's a term that is meant to shut people off right away, and they've used it as a weapon. The CIA did this after the Kennedy assassination. They wanted to call anyone that questioned the Oswald story a conspiracy theorist, because as soon as they did that, you were put into a box. You were like an Alex Jones. You were like a crazy person, okay? And what that did was nobody wants, and they still do it today, nobody wants to be an Alex Jones. Oh, my God. If you get lumped in with that guy, you want to run, okay? He's out there for a purpose. He's out there to make – he's sort of the straw man of the conspiracy theories. Keep everyone out of that box because no one wants to be associated with that lunatic. Okay, that's how they do it. But you should look at things open-minded and watch yourself. Everybody has a bias, you know, and just really examine things with a true open mind. You might get somewhere.
Well, I do that constantly. That's what I spend my life doing. I just have – I'm telling you that I'm confessing to having an aversion to – things that sound like they're coming from people who have reached conclusions without having an appropriate requirement that there be some cause and effect. But that doesn't mean I don't investigate. You don't have to worry about that. Thank you, Jim, for taking the time to explain. Joining us now is Joe Markley. We'll take more phone calls in a few minutes, but Joe joins us every week, and we try to develop, I think, rational theories, don't we, Joe?
You know, I often feel like I come on intending to talk about something, and I'm so interested in what I've been listening to that I don't want to wrench it in.
Well, that's good. Dive into the conspiracy theories, then.
Well, you and I may see this somewhat the same, which is, I tend to think it's not a conspiracy a lot of times, but it's a lot of groupthink. You have a lot of people that have the same ideas in their mind because they come from the same places, the same colleges, the same social class, whatever it is. And they kind of move as a herd without necessarily, well, like a real herd. A real herd doesn't necessarily have a leader, but it's a group of people that once a group of sheep, a group of cows, whatever they are, once they
so they have a cultural predisposition. They behave a certain way based on their culture and think
and
a certain way based on their culture.
Yeah, they don't have to have secret meetings and secret handshakes and orders from above in order to do that. There may be some of that going on, too. But, I'm sympathetic to these callers of yours and the fact that this term conspiracy theory is so often thrown out to say you don't have to listen to it. And I was just complaining today to somebody about the way that the mainstream media immediately dismissed this idea that the virus could have the coronavirus could have escaped from a lab in China. And as time has gone on, now they've kind of crept around to saying, well, you know, it is possible. Maybe it just escaped. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't engineered, but it just got loose. But they were so quick, kind of like the face masks, so quick to come out and pronounce. And you really do lose confidence in people when they do that. You'd say, you told me you were right before, now you're not so sure. You told me you were lying before, now you tell me you're telling me the truth.
Right.
Why am I supposed to believe you now?
But I think that stuff is different. So you gave the example of the virus coming from China. And I think we know those patterns of people trying to push the story in one direction or another and them wanting to say, oh, no, it's not China because Trump says it's China. And there's really no reason to believe either side of the people in that tug of war because it's speculative and they're expressing a political preference rather than a collection of evidence that would lead us to some conclusion. But there are certain people who talk to you in such a way of they're utterly convinced that the cause and effect is right in front of you. They've laid it right out on the table, and yet there's nothing on the table except
that's true.
Their utter devotion to the conclusion that they've come to. And that's what I mean when I'm talking about conspiracy theory people, is the people who have this. For example, there's that, I forget the pair, that husband and wife couple who had the idea. They were professors, and they had the idea about the way you destroy America is get so many people onto their benefit programs that you crash the programs. It was Piven, something Piven. Huh. Anyway, there are people. Are you not familiar with that show?
Never. I missed that one, Todd.
Okay, it's a really good one because it's legitimate.
I love these theories. But, I mean, I love them for entertainment. Yeah.
Well, no, this is an actual, you know, has some potential to feed into a fact pattern that might. I can't remember the first name of the Piven theory, but I'm going to see if I can find it that way. But anyway, the idea was, the Cloward Piven strategy. It's a political strategy outlined in 1966 by American sociologists and political activists Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven that called for overloading the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a, I have to jump to the next page, guaranteed annual income and thus an end to poverty. And guess what? They're still pushing for that thing. So it makes you think, okay, this Cloward Piven strategy concept has been out there in the marketplace for decades with most people not knowing it exists, and yet it keeps popping up and you can see a linear connection. And then there are some people who say, well, of course, Cloward Piven. Like, have you been ignoring the obvious all these years? You didn't know everything is controlled by the Cloward Piven theory? You know, they just go a little too far with it, is what I'm saying.
Well, the thing about it is they're predicting or encouraging something that would happen by its own nature, in the sense that if you start to make benefits available, you can pretty much trust that system is going to get overloaded at
some
point.
Isn't that very true? That is very true. Hang on a sec, Joe. I've just got to do a quick weather report, and we will continue the conversation. Former State Senator Joe Markley is here, present, a live human being who's not a state senator. And I'll bet he's happier in this condition, but that's another subject. Okay, Joe, anything else you want to say on that topic?
Well, you know, I was starting to say I've always found these theories entertaining at the very least. And that's not to say that I laugh at them, but I'm amazed at their complexity and the devotion they attract. And one that always fans, I'm a great fan of Stanley Kubrick, the director. And the amount of time people have put into reading things into his movies, and especially The Shining, there's a whole movie made about the various theories that people have come up with about what Kubrick had coded into The Shining. And, of course, you always feel with these coded things in the end, well, if he wanted us to know, why didn't he just come out and tell us, you know, instead of leaving a jigsaw puzzle behind? But and talk radio is a good place to hear about him. Now, I'm going to say something, though, about something that is not a conspiracy, but it is a fallacy. And the fallacy is that there are any moderate Democrats left in Connecticut, except for maybe Joan Hartley.
Okay.
To switch gears completely, we just had the final vote on this police accountability bill that we talked about last week, and you talked about a lot on the show. And I think everybody knows now it went through both the House and the Senate easily in the end, and virtually along party line votes. And all kinds of Democrats who run around and say, I'm not a big liberal, I'm a fiscal conservative, I'm a common sense person like you, I'm a suburban Democrat, I'm not like those urban Democrats that have some wild progressive agenda, I'm watching out for my community. All of them that voted for this bill, and that's virtually every one of them, including your frequent guest who tries so hard to be sound reasonable, Liz Linehan, all of them in the end voted for a bill that any reasonable person would have said, at least don't rush into this. Maybe there's some merit in it, but nobody really understands it. We don't even know what the language is. It's completely unclear. Why are you doing this? They did it because they don't have the nerve to stand up to their leadership, and they don't have the nerve to stand up to the radicals on their left that they're scared of, that are pushing them so hard. So the next time, if you're out there in the suburbs thinking, I know those Democrats are crazy and they're destroying Connecticut, but my Democratic state representative is something different, don't believe it. They are all swallowing the party line, and the police accountability bill shows it.
Well, what you're saying, I think, is that they are being swept away by the tide, regardless of what their beliefs are. Is that your meaning?
Well, I'd say there's a certain amount of that, maybe especially among some of the older legislators. I've had a few of them that have kind of snuck up beside me and said, I can't believe these crazy proposals they're putting forward, and then going to vote for them. Those people are being swept along. There's a lot of others that I think Liz Linehan is in this category, that in their heart of hearts really are radical progressives, but are smart enough electorally to try to cloak themselves in a robe of moderation for the viewing of their voters.
But I think that if you look at this caricature you just painted of Liz Linehan, which I think is accurate, I think she likes politics. It's a lot of work to get elected. You get elected, especially when you're a liberal Democrat in Cheshire, in a district that leans maybe against you. And then you try to figure out how do you thread the needle so that people, you get to be yourself in some ways, but people can also say, yeah, that Linehan, she's a Democrat, but she's all right. And that requires a lot of posing. But don't all politicians on some level do that?
No, I don't think so. You know, I guess I know Liz pretty well. I actually like Liz. Liz and I always had a decent relationship. But I always knew what she was at heart politically, which I don't hold against her. I only hold against the fact of what that philosophy has done to the state of Connecticut. I'd say that everyone wants to present their best side to the voters. But I think there's a point at which you are cloaking yourself, not just choosing not to show everything, but you're actually hiding certain aspects. And the dance that some of these people go through about I've got to listen to everyone, I've got to think about it, I'm going to take it seriously. But then in the end, you go down the party line. I think that, for instance, that's a dance that people perform, which is deceptive, and which I'd guess say I'd never indulged in. Rob Sampson doesn't indulge in. You don't have to do it.
Yeah, but you guys—that's what made you guys or make you guys unusual—is that you don't play that game, and you're such anomalies that it's made you stand out. So it's an interesting dynamic.
People,
yes. Well, you're right.
You don't have to play that game, and
you're
right.
They don't believe it though.
Yeah,
they don't believe that you can actually be Joe Markley or Rob Sampson unless you come from just the right district. Got to hold you right there, Joe. We're out of time. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Former State Senator Joe Markley telling it like it is, like we deserve to hear it.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.